right, g'day Novocastrians, and welcome to the Round 15 preview episode of the Jets Train Podcast. This Sunday sees the Jets hosting the Glory at MJ Stadium with a 5pm kickoff. To chat about all the possibilities for this game and the rest of Round 15, I've got two of my fellow hosts joining me. It was supposed to be a welcome back to Stat Study Dave, but unfortunately baby commitments has called him away, so we've wrote back in Glenn. Glenn, welcome back.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad at all, mate. And it's a welcome back after his New Year's break. He's just come back from a 24-hour marathon, back-to-back screenings of Assassin's Creed. Bodes.
Voldemort, what's going on?
Oh, you caught my little sly dig at Harry Potter last week, last episode, did you?
I would hardly call that dig sly.
Well, that's true. I do hate Harry Potter. Yeah. Anyway. All right, opening question. With Stat Steady Dave not being able to join us in mind, Glenn, have you had any engagements that have been ruined by a interruption of an infant or a baby?
Oh, that's a good question. Have I had any? Not really. I'll be honest. I haven't had that much to do with. I've obviously got a niece, but she's she doesn't live with me, so she doesn't really interrupt.
Yep.
Yeah, no, nothing that comes to mind, sorry.
No baby screaming on planes or...
I can block that stuff out.
Oh, really?
I don't know, I've just got a gift for it. It probably won't happen when I have a child, won't be able to block it out. But anybody else's kid, I can just, block it out, no worries.
You're lucky. Bodes, what about you?
Hey, I'm completely blank. I got nothing. The other thing I can put close to a baby is I think... When I was a kid, I think I old two or three, I've been told that I was holding my sister when she was one, maybe just after one, and I dropped her on her birthday cake. I think I think that's more or less me interrupting.
Causing a baby to interrupt.
That's the only one I think I've been told about. But nothing in my later years in life.
Now that's,
was it at least a sponge cake?
Was it a soft landing?
I know further, know more about the story, but whenever I ask, it's a short story.
Oh, I was going to say, does it get more embellished every time you ask the story? It comes back more. You dropped it from like upper lateral.
The cake gets more delicious every time.
Fair enough. Well, I've probably got too many stories to mention. My kids are even now causing me to run late or miss engagements. So they've definitely made me late for several Jets games. I can certainly vouch for that. I remember one wedding where we actually literally had to miss three quarters of a wedding service because one of the kids, I'm pretty sure this was Chloe when she was first born, we were at a wedding in a church and she was just not settled at all. Literally had to stand outside for most of it, and it was a good friend of mine's wedding as well. But that's the sort of thing I was looking for that question. Any of that sort of stuff. Yeah. All right.
I didn't know Voldemort had kids.
Shut up. Anyway, well, as I said before, the Jets are hosting Perth Glory this Sunday at McDonald Jones Stadium with a 5pm kickoff. Just as a note, the Jets women are hosting the Brisbane women in the W League in the first match of the doubleheader. That kickoff is at 2:30pm at McDonald Jones Stadium. With the A League stats for this game, Jets are sitting in sixth with two wins. The last five is two wins, then a draw, then a loss, then a win. Glory is sitting fifth, two losses, two draws, and then a win. Head-to-head, played 34 times. Nui have won 7 of those games. Glory have won 21 of those games, and there's been 6 draws. In Newcastle, the Jets have won 5, the Glory have won 10, and there's 2 draws. So, Glenn, again, like the last time we played Glory, although I suppose this isn't as bad, the stats aren't really on our side, but we're hoping with some good results and the Jets in the top 6 that there'd be a bit more confidence around the squad.
Yeah, well, one swallow does not a summer make, goes the saying. So one win against Perth in Perth, even though it's only the second time we've done it, it doesn't mean the hoodoo's over. They've got a good record at Hunter Stadium, McDonald Jones Stadium now. I don't think they've lost here to us since, 2011, 2012, something like that.
Sounds about right.
So, I think they've won the last they haven't lost in the last seven, I think, as you said.
Yeah.
So it's we can be proud of what we did over there, but we still got a lot of hard work in front of us to try and beat them. And they've got some players back like Castro that they didn't have when we played them last time.
Yeah. Bode's last game was obviously, as Glenn mentioned, that the hoodoo-breaking result on the 10th of December, where we come away with a 2-1 win. The last two games against the Glory in Newcastle was a 2-1 defeat on the 26th of March and the 6-1 smashing on the 24th of January. So, yeah, as Glenn said, there's obviously Perth Glory are a bogey team for the most part, but again, we're hoping that confidence, recent run of results, it should be a good game either way. They're not pulling up any trees at the moment.
Yeah, good point, Voldemort.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to edit all this out, by the way.
I'm going to go all episode. I watched Perth's game versus the Knicks last week, the second half anyway, and Perth were really good. Castro and Taggart are starting to hit some form now, and with Andy Kerr, it's actually a bit of a danger game for us. In all honesty, I think we should win, but this is Perth are probably starting to come back into form at the wrong time for us. I think if anything, we've probably been the catalyst for this turnaround from them since we beat them.
Yeah, well, that was obviously a bit of a smarting result for them. So they've I'll go through those results. Since we beat them on the 10th of December, they got smacked 4-1 by Sydney at home. Then they had a 3-3 draw away to Melbourne City. They had a 1-1 draw away to Wanderers at ANZ, and then they won their last game against Wellington 2-1. So, Glenn, they're not, as we said, they're not really pulling up any trees. And I mean, Wellington's sort of down near the bottom of the table. They've had a coach leave. They've got interim coaches in place. The squad's not quite settled. But they've been scoring goals. Obviously, that 3-3 result against City in a madcap game comes to mind. So, you'd think that. We would be able to go into this with just as much confidence as they would be with their last result in mind.
Yeah, and as you say, they've been scoring a few goals lately, and with the stories that have come out in the Herald this week, Jones and the defensive staff want to look at tightening up at the back and not letting as many goals in.
Yep. So
I think that, unfortunately for me, that points to a stalemate in my mind. I'm hoping we can win, but yeah, I think we might be focusing on keeping a clean sheet rather than throwing caution to the wind and pushing everybody forward. And we might just cancel each other out, in my opinion.
Well, Glenn must have snuck a look at my notebook, Bodes, because that was literally my next question. That Boogs and the coaching staff come out in the Herald today saying we need to be more ruthless in defence. Do you think that is a preamble to maybe the style of play changing to be a little bit more defensive against these sort of teams? Or do you think that that's maybe just giving Kenny Lowe something to think about while we go and continue to score?
I'm not sure, Voldemort.
Jesus.
this isn't going to get old. I love it.
No, I do too. It's funny, you know. Last week we made the change to bring Lachlan Jackson in, and I actually thought that would shore up the defence. And look, I thought defensively last week we were actually okay. And if anything, I'm not too worried about the defence. I know we have been conceding goals, but I'd say it's more due to errors than anything than in terms of the whole group failing as a whole. So I think just we need to focus, I still think, on what we're doing, and that's outscoring the opposition at the moment. We're doing that. So look, I think I'm going to go down the route that I think it's just giving Kenny Lowe something to think about.
Mm-hmm. It's very brave of you, Bodes, to be consistently poking fun at the bloke that edits this podcast, and I can add any number of effects to your voice post-production. So just remember that the next time you decide to get my name wrong.
You've got no nose.
Oh, Jesus. Glenn, our first half against Brisbane, absolutely awful until that goal just before half-time. Pretty imperative that we start better against the Glory because their strikers more than Brisbane's are going to punish us if we make mistakes.
Oh, definitely. And especially at home as well. I can, as I said in the review pod, I can understand the motive for trying to start a bit slow away from home, but at home, and I think to Jones's credit and the rest of the coaching staff's credit, for the most part, we've been, you know, on the offensive, taking the initiative at home. So I think that has to continue, not only to relieve the pressure on our back line, but also just to set the tone for the game.
Bode's tactics. Have you had a chance to watch the Brisbane game back and you compared the halves? So we really need to press like we did in the second half against Brisbane from the start against Glory. That high defensive press is something that we should have been doing for the entire game but didn't. We have to do it for the entire game for this one. You agree?
Yeah, we do, Voldemort. We need to press really, really high up the pitch. And look, we need to. I listened into your guys' pod and did agree. We need to get wider. We need to get Hill and the Boo and the ball in the wide position. Because look, Perth's weakness, definite weakness, is especially on that left hand side with Mark Warren. So look, I think Naboo, assuming he's going to be on the right, should be out to have an absolute field day. And the way they're going to do that is by playing out wide, where he can isolate Warren.
Yeah, but who's he going to be crossing the ball into if he's going to the, like I mentioned last week, last episode, if he's going to the byline, then it's one less player that's going to be in the box that's going to be able to get on the end of that cross that he's going to put in. That's why we had supposedly Cowburn and Hoffman supposed to be bobbing on in the last game and putting those crosses in. Obviously, it worked for Naboo and it worked for Nordstrand, but if we do that, if we're pushing those wingers out wide, then they're not going to be cutting inside to create their scoring opportunities.
Well, who's saying they're not gonna go down past the byline and look to cut back to, say, a Wayne Brown or one of the two holders? It's plenty of options available. And at the end of the day, if Hull, Brown or Nordstrand are getting in the box, that's three players from the boot. Say, just for example, from the boot to hit Voldemort.
Glenn, do you reckon our fullbacks should be bombing on like we saw towards the end of the Brisbane game, or do you think it's going to be pretty imperative they hang back and they do their defensive duties against their wider players?
I think you made a good point last pod with providing options inside with those wingers. So I'll admit I didn't think about that when I complained quite loudly about them not having any width, but I think it goes hand in hand. If they are going to do that, then the fullbacks absolutely have to provide the width. So I hope to see more of that, as we saw late in the second half. It's just a shame that Vuhitsa is still obviously out for a few more weeks, because as you mentioned, Ferns, he provides a lot more of an attacking threat on that left hand side as opposed to Cowburn. But you know, I'm sure Calburn's got it in his locker. He was originally a midfielder, so I'm sure he can put a decent cross in. So let's hope those instructions are for the fullbacks to overlap, provide some width, and get the balls into to the front three.
Bodes, cast your mind back to that game on the 10th of December away at NOB Stadium. Do you remember what the tactics were that we used, and can we do the same thing again?
Well, I think the word probably to go for, Voldemort, was mobile. We were mobile. We played. On memory, we played Clute, Brown, Hill, Naboo, Darkwich, and basically it was just we were quick on our feet. We pressed ridiculously high, probably the highest I think we had all season, and we put Perth's midfielders under serious pressure, and we broke them into errors, and I think a lot of our chances come basically from us getting the ball back in their own or in their half and creating quick chances. So yeah, look, if that's the method we need to go to again, I'd be happy to see it. I'm not saying Devante Clute has to come back in the starting lineup, but Nordstrom, Brown, and Cole have just got we've got to press again.
Well, that pretty neatly segues into the next section, which is talking about the starting 11. So the squad's been announced as the same as the one versus Brisbane. Cowburn is in the squad, so it sounds like he didn't have any injury issues from when he got subbed on the game against Brisbane. Glenn, would you be, going back to what Bodie said about what we did last time against Perth, would you be starting Clute? Would you be making any changes from that starting 11 from Brisbane? Would we be bringing Coco in? How would your starting 11 look?
I'd love to see Coco in. You know, I'm not privy to his fitness status. We may hear more of that in the Phil the Hill podcast with the
recovery lounge.
Yeah. So we may hear some more about that. But if he was fit and fully ready to go, then I would like to see him start and provide a bit more of an attacking threat. Where do you put Nordstrom then? Good question. Are you going to move him out wide? Who do you drop? Either of the Andrews? It's pretty hard to do that in the current form they're in. So it's a tough decision. I do think they're going to stay with one up top because, A, it is working, and B, you know, you'd have to drop either one of the holding midfielders potentially or one of the wide players, as I said. What's going to happen? I think they're going to stick with the same side that rolled out against Brisbane, to be honest. Maybe change a few of the bench players. It was quite defensive, that bench that we put out against Brisbane, so maybe one or two more attacking threats with Coco on the bench potentially.
What would you do, Boats, with regards to the strikers? Would you keep it the same as Brisbane, or would you be looking to make a change and maybe bring in Clute in?
No, I'd be going as is, and look, to be honest, unfortunately, I think if we're going to have two or three attacking options on the bench, I think that maybe Clute might have to miss out because Coco missed the bench last week. So, and I just get the feeling that Coco he provides a different option than Clute, in my opinion. I think Nordstrom and Clute, while not exactly the same, are the both mobile players. So, and I don't think Lele is going to be dropped because the last couple of games when he's been coming on, he's been effective.
Well, I don't think he's going to get dropped from the bench, but I don't think he's going to. I still don't think he's going to start.
No, I think we'll start the same lineup. But last
same lineup week, as Brisbane.
Coco wasn't on the bench. Clute was, so I think it's either one of them that are gonna miss the squad altogether. And I think Coco is just a better option.
Yeah, well,
we had two defensive players on the bench too, in Katrumbas and Mullen. So maybe Mullen.
Oh yes, yeah, so we could drop a defensive player. That's there you go. Maybe Clute and Coco both do fit the team. I hope they both do because I think they're excellent players. But I also think as well, Lele hasn't done anything wrong to be dropped.
Yeah, it's interesting because having Katrumbas there gives you that flexibility because he can also play in midfield. So if we cop an injury during the game and we don't have someone who can go into midfield, we've only got attackers or one defender, it sort of makes it a little bit difficult, I suppose. But then again, you could probably swap things around on the fly and stick Cowburn in midfield.
Well, you could pull Wayne Brown back.
Yeah, true. So Glenn would... So Bodes would start the same starting 11 as Brisbane. Are you sort of in the same vein?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to find, as I said before, I'd like to find a place for Coco, but then yeah, it means dropping somebody, and I don't think anybody, especially in a starting 11, has done anything to warrant being dropped either to the bench or completely. So I think, especially for team morale as well, I think if we go with the same, we got a result up in Brisbane. It was a good team effort in the end. Minus the first 45 minutes, essentially. So I think that's just going to breed confidence. You stick with the same team, reward the players that have put their all on the park and go again.
All right, no worries. Well, obviously, the last game against Brisbane, we had Jackson being brought on and Mullen was dropped on ostensibly for that defensive weird thing he pulled in the previous game. Bodes, would you see that as maybe something that Jonesy could do? He's dropped Mullen for a week as punishment, for lack of a better word, of, you know, that ridiculous dive that he pulled, or do you think maybe Bugard and Jackson's a better option in defence?
I'm not sure. I think that without him coming out and publicly stating it, I think this was a move to punish him for what happened against the Victory. But look, at the end of the day, we got the 3 points last week, and I wouldn't say that Lachlan Jackson was an error for any of the two goals directly. He might, some say he was.
Bugard was. One
well, like, yeah, they said that he was, yeah. So look, I don't think Jackson deserves to be dropped, but the one thing that really confused me was the fact that Jackson leaked Katrumbas. That's the that's the one for me that's the shock. But then I think we're losing Katrumbis at the end of the year anyway, by the sound of things, most likely. So maybe Jones has realised, well, I better start using the stock we're going to have. So, look, I wouldn't be dropping either. Well, I wouldn't be dropping Jackson for Mullen. I think Jackson deserves another game.
Yep, fair enough. All right. So we look like we're pretty much going to go exactly the same 11 as we did in Brisbane. So, you know, it just remains to be seen whether we shuffle one of the defensive guys off the bench to bring Coco on, but that'll definitely give us some... that's a pretty decent bench, so you've got to be happy with that. So we'll talk about Perth for a sec. Obviously, it was alluded to before, the quote that... Or did we allude to it before with the quote with Adam Taggart in the media today saying he wouldn't swap any Glory players for any Newcastle players, which I thought was a little disappointing considering that his time in Newcastle was the whole reason why he got to go overseas to Europe in the first place. Boats, let's do a little bit of work for him. Give me two players that you think would actually, from our team, that would theoretically, that would actually improve the Perth Glory squad. Because I think he's talking shit.
Yeah, I think Tags is sparking a bit of fire in the belly for the game.
He loves it. He loves it.
He loves it. Yep, loves it. Loves the rage. well, I think even just to start with, I'd just say Andrew Naboo, Nigel Bugard, Stephen Agarkovich. We got plenty of players that would that would definitely be effective.
Yeah, what about you, Glenn?
Yeah, the first two that came to my mind was Naboo and Nugarkovic, definitely, 100%. I mean, I can understand his point in a little way, because if you looked at our teams on paper at the start of the season, before a ball had been kicked, Perth have a really good side on paper. Games aren't played on paper, and we all know that. So, the obvious exception being Mark Warren. but... I can understand his point, and it's going to rally his boys more, which is, I guess, the whole point of it. But, I think for sure at least Naboo and Nugarkovic would walk into that team no problem.
Yep, definitely. All right, so, the other thing that is definitely is still rumbling along in the media is the behind-the-scenes whispers about squad problems or problems within the squad. So obviously we've seen in the last couple of days that it looks like Reece Williams is pretty much a definite to depart during this January transfer window. And there's a number of other players that it hasn't quite worked either. They were very very keen in 12 months ago to promote this West Australian way, bringing back all these players that were developed in Western Australia, but it hasn't really sort of worked. That's what I think has probably destabilised them at the moment. They brought in some supposedly bigger names, and maybe they haven't sort of taken any account of the personalities, how they're all going to mesh in this team. Do you see that as being part of the issue as to why they're sort of not struggling, but inconsistent?
Yeah, I think the bigger heads have just clashed. You've mentioned a couple of them: Reece Williams, Roston Griffiths. Who else? Dino Dubic. Like, these are experienced, well, some of them international players. And look, it's come to a stage now where, it looks like it's all starting to kind of unravel. And it seems, bar maybe Taggart, maybe Roston Griffiths, the new stock is being replaced by the old stock that did the job last year. So, look, it hasn't provided any benefit to them. And I can see today that Josh Risden, a WA boy, wants to move on. So, look, maybe the West is best way. Yeah, it's not the way forward.
Yeah, and he's not one of their worst players. He's still been consistently one of the better fullbacks in the league. So that's maybe he's just had enough of all the what's rumored to be petty squabbling going on in the background.
Yeah, he must be over the Western politics. Or he's just sick of living in the 1970s. I don't know.
I think it's progressed a little bit more now. I think you're sort of looking mid 80s, late 80s at this point in time.
You think they've got 3G or 2G over there yet?
I think they're barely scraping 2G at the moment. They're still using dial up. I think the NBN's going to make it out there for at least another 20 years. Some areas of bloody Sydney that still hasn't got the NBN. Glenn, the obviously the players, three of the players we've already mentioned, Tags, Keogh and Castro, they're looking to be their main threats, do you think, for this game?
They always are, and especially when Castro is involved, he just makes those two in front of him, Keogh and Taggart, that much more dangerous because he can thread the needle. He can, yeah, he just lays it on a platter for whoever's playing in front of him, and I think that breeds confidence within the two frontmen as well. They know that their runs are going to be rewarded with a decent ball. So, yeah, very mobile and very dangerous attacking third for mine.
Well, how do you negate the threat of Castro? Do you man mark him with one of the defensive midfielders, or does that leave our midfield open to other players?
I don't know if you man mark him. I think zonally, if Jarkovic is looking after somebody else in this one period of play, then Poliak takes after him, and I think you have to bend the rules a little bit, not hurt anybody, but let them know you're there. Like stick your foot in, you know. Don't let him run around you. If you have to foul him early on, foul him. As far as I can see, as long as it's not anything malicious in it.
Yeah.
But just don't be afraid to put your foot in, and let him know you're there and he's in for a tough game, because if he gets on a roll, he's very very dangerous.
All right, Bodes, what do you think the score is going to be? Time for a prediction.
I'm going to stick my neck on this one. 3-0 Jets.
Oh, Jesus. There'll be massive celebrations at the end of the game if that happens. Glenn?
I'm going, as I said early on, I think both teams are going to cancel each other out. It's going to be an entertaining game, but I think it'll finish 1-1.
I'm going to be positive, but not quite as positive as Bodes. I actually think it's going to be a same score again as it was last time. I think it'll be a 2-1 win to the Jets. All right, so like we said, make sure you get down, try and get down for the women's game that kicks off at 2:30, the Jets women taking on Brisbane. 2:30 kickoff, but if not, the main game starts at 5 p.m. McDonald Jones Stadium, Jets versus Glory. All right, we'll cover off the rest of round 15 now. While we're recording, Thursday's games are still underway. I think it's probably just about finished by now. Adelaide versus City, I picked that to remain 1-1. Has that score changed at all? Do we know?
It is full-time 2-1 Adelaide.
2-1 Adelaide. Adelaide got their first win. Wow, okay. The duck is broken. so they finally managed to be able to get get another win on the board. All right, so tomorrow night, or tonight as you get this podcast Friday morning, so Friday sees Melbourne Victory hosting Brisbane Roar, 7:50 p.m. kickoff down there at Amy Park, I believe. Bodes, what do you think the score's going to be here?
Sorry, who was playing for them? I missed it. What,
Victory Brisbane.
Victory of the Red Hot team at the moment, so I'll go Melbourne Victory 2-0.
Glenn?
I'm going for a draw here, 2-2.
Alright, I'm going to go a 3-1 win to Victory. Saturday sees a doubleheader kicking off at 5:35, Wellington versus the Gippos all the way over there in Wellington at Westpac Stadium, 5:35 p.m. kickoff. Glenn, what do you reckon?
I think 3-1 Wellington, just at home. They'll do it at a canter, and Central Coast are pretty rubbish, although they did put up a decent fight against Sydney last week.
Still managed to get beaten. Bode, sticking with your usual scoreline?
Right, you are, Voldemort. 4-0.
I think Wellington have not been going too bad since they appointed Greenacre as the interim coach, but I don't think it's going to be as big a scoreline as Bodes is predicting. I think it'll just be a 2-0 win to Wellington, but that's still good enough for him, I think. It's the 3 points at this point in their campaign is all really that matters. The later game on Saturday night is the Sydney Derby, so being played at Allianz, Sydney versus Wanderers. That's going to be interesting, with the Big Bash Derby also taking place next door, so they reckon there's going to be about 80,000 people in the Moore Park District. 7:50 p.m. kickoff. Bodes, score count, flare count.
2-0 Sydney, because the Wanderers are just an absolute capitulation this year. Every week I think they're going to turn it around. They never do. Flare count, Western Sydney 10, Sydney 1.
Glenn?
I'm going to be contrarian here. I think Western Sydney will sneak this 2-1. I don't know why, I've just got a feeling.
I don't know how either, because they don't have anybody that can score. And for that reason, I'll be picking Sydney to continue their dominance of the Wanderers. I think they're going to win this 3-1, because, Nichols will probably shank one in off Walford defender, and that'll be the only way they can actually score. Flair count, the Flares have been pretty quiet this season, I think. Although I think the derby usually brings them out, so I'm just going to say there's going to be one at each end. All right, well, that's pretty much all we've got. There's no real other news to cover off that's happened over the last week. We've tried
got
to keep
Jackson. Jackson's re-signing.
Jackson's re-signing's probably something we should touch on. Bodes. Two-year extension to his deal, and is obviously that's a great decision. We wanted him to stay, and it looks like and obviously he is. We just hope that we can add Katrumbas to that.
Yeah, safe deal, and I think it's always good to have a left-footed defender in your rank. So yeah, good on him, and yeah, look, if we keep Johnny Katrumbas, I'd be stoked, but. At the end of the day, someone's got to have a group by the name of Adelaide's got to have a say in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Glenn, it's good that we've actually been able to re-sign these sorts of players, because in the past this is the sort of player that would have been let go to a City or to a Sydney FC, and then we would have seen them develop, or in the case of Connor Chapman and some others, maybe not, but they would have been performing better for other teams rather than making our squad better.
Yeah, and I think to a certain extent it shows some ambition as well to retain that young talent and nurture them and just reap the fruits, I suppose, as they're hitting their straps. They're going to become better and better players for us and not somebody else, as you said. It's not as ambitious as going out and signing some big name, but I think it all starts at home. Showing that loyalty, I suppose, is a two-way street, is only going to further... I guess it helps other players make that decision as well. Like, oh, they've kept this young bloke. Well, maybe I should stay as well. So I think it's a good decision. And it also, I think it also sort of points to Mark Jones being given the medium to long term. You wouldn't be tying players down to contracts if you were thinking of getting rid of anybody at the top. So I think that means Mark Jones is here for at least the medium term.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, unless anyone else has got any other news, we can probably wrap it up.
Nope, all good, Valdi.
All right, no worries. We apologise for some audio problems during this recording. Skype's been acting up a little bit. I have no idea why, but it's probably got something to do with Bodie's new phone. I'll just blame it on him, considering he keeps calling me Voldemort. All right, so stay tuned after the outro for the Recovery Lounge segment from the Filthy Hill Friday podcast. Thanks to Grant and Todd. If you need to get in contact with any of us, just click the episode notes. All our Twitter handles are there, and there's also the Twitter handles and other contact details for the podcast. We've got Twitter, Facebook, and email, and you can also get in contact with us on the forums at newcastlefootball.net. So thanks very much for joining us, Glenn.
My pleasure, thank you.
No problems at all. Thanks for taking over from Dave at short notice. And thanks very much, Bodes, for being able to drag yourself out of the cinema. I suppose you're going to be going back to watch more Assassin's Creed later.
No, mate, one time's enough, unlike you, Voldy.
One day, yep, fair enough. All right, too easy. Thanks very much, everybody, guys. We will speak to you next week, and go the Jets.
Ron Weasley, Dumbledore.
Are you quite...
this is going over my head as well. Quite, I've got no idea.
No, are you quite done?
Wham, bam, Benjamin!
We might do a bit of a recovery lounge, so we're moving to that right now.
as we said before, we haven't seen Voyitsa. He's nowhere to be seen today. Whether he's still stuck up there in the recovery lounge itself, but we haven't. He's not moving around. We haven't been able to sight him. BK is he's getting around. He's had a bit of a rub down, but we haven't seen him. He's obviously not down on the field. Dan Alesi is over the back there by the look of it. Having a light kick around with Ben Kantorowski.
Kantorowski's right
over the back there. Yep, and who's that in the middle there, Steve? Can you see who's that? Cooper. That's right. Cooper's on the outside. Kantorowski and Dan Alesi. So we've got three guys in the recovery lounge. That who's that over there? And there's Labby's on the park at the moment. Now, if you hear that clapping in the background, we've got a couple of young fans here with one of those clappers, one of the Jets hand clappers. He's doing a good job there too, Phoenix. Good on you, bud. Supporting the team here. But Labby's on the park, but he's not in the position where he's doing anything. He's actually standing just off the... he might be coming on for somebody. He's somebody's spare at the moment. So, yeah, so the boys are moving that around. So back to the recovery lounge. Yeah, there's nothing more to say, I suppose. We don't know where Voyitsa is. He's still, what do they say, 4 to 6 weeks. And everybody else is back on light training. Mitchy Cooper here, as I say, is just for keeping himself fit for future prospects, I suppose. Okay, we're just noticing after that tackle that Nobby received, he's finished with training today. He's up there in the recovery lounge. He's just got his leg up, resting, and hopefully that's not a sign. That's not a good sign anyway. So we'll have to wait and see what happens, and maybe with these if they're training this Saturday. Don't forget, guys, for members. You're invited to that training over at McDonald Jones. So, and the first 100 people get a free sausage sandwich. Get there early. And you'd have to do a comparison. There'd have to be a taste test between the Jets sausage sandwich and the Bunnings sausage sandwich. I think that would be pretty. So that'll be a bit of controversy to sort of do a taste test on that to see which one's the better.